It is an honor to be back here again, and we sure appreciate you all having us. We want what the Lord wants. And I feel like the Lord has given me a little encouragement for congregation tonight, so I hope it's an encouragement to you. I heard it said recently that Judaism was mainly God speaking to a nation, and that Christianity is God speaking to the individual. And I think there's truth in that. I wouldn't argue it. But I do believe that God wants us as individuals. Sometimes I think that we would be better off to have blinders on, not sticking our head in the sand to not see what's coming on to the world or don't understand. But I think sometimes we need blinders on to keep from distracting us from unnecessary things in life that don't pertain to us, that things that hinder us in our walk with the Lord, our closeness with the Lord. I think we'd be better off not to be always looking to judge something else, but having my eyes, my face set like a flint to the Lord. Not that we're not interested in other people or doing anything, but that we would dismiss all of the noise that's around our world. I think we'd be better off to have the individual relationship with the Lord. Work on that and keep that fresh and keep that going. And it's something that the Lord works with. That's what the Lord wants us to do. I think that the Lord deals with every individual that way. He wants to... I think the Lord uses human instrumentality. I think there's he goes through the mouth of clay, but he wants to speak to each and every one of us individually. He wants a relationship with us. I think it's great that there's a gift of prayer, or I think there's these gifts, but do you know really the Lord just really doesn't want you to say, well, I'm going to call the pastor. That's good, and there's a unity of prayer, but the Lord wants the relationship where you can trust the Lord. He's worked in my life, and I remember Brother Salmon saying one time, you know, when somebody's matured, he knew when he was matured when people quit making over him. Said, well, he got to a place that he didn't need as much. And you got a relationship with the Lord. We can depend on that. And somebody that wants to live for the Lord. In the Old Testament, the journey of Israel and God's dealing with them had a lot to do with the acquiring of land. It's a lot what the story is about. The children of Israel, I mean, through Abraham and the promise to Abraham, there was a nation was created. You remember, they ended up in the bondage of Egypt through Joseph there and the whole story of that. But they ended up in Goshen and ended up servitude to the Egyptians, and they needed deliverance. And they was always promised. They had always been promised that they would be a deliverer, and the deliverer was going to deliver them, and he was going to take them to this special land. They were going to own this. And this was what the story of Israel is about, basically. It's a story of land. And that went on all, you know, that's went in through history. That continues to be an argument today about the place that they hold and all that. But it was a very much a part of what Israel was, is that there was going to be, they were nomads and they didn't have nothing. And the Lord said, if you'll be my people and follow me, I'm gonna make a promise to you, Abraham, that your seed's going to be like the stars of the sky and like the sands of the seas. And we're going to make a nation out of you. And I'm going to give you a land. That was the Lord dealing with the nation. And it was about him giving them a land. And a lot of the story was about them taking the land, and a lot of it was about him holding the land. They were always challenged with the land that they had. They had always been and will always be challenged with the land that they hold. Well, that's an analogy as a nation, but it's an analogy for an individual. That's where it really plays true. God has promised us, in this sense, a land. He promised us a place that's it's going to have certain qualities right in the middle of this crazy world that we live in. There is still a promise of a land. God is going to keep the promise to his people of the land that he has promised. Jesus came to make that way for us to have that land. So I want to look tonight and encourage us that there is a journey ahead of all of us. If you're here tonight, you haven't finished this journey. I don't know to what prophesy will be in your land and what God has ahead of you in your journey, but I know God has placed for every individual, if you will, a Canaan land. There is an experience in God that God is calling every individual to that he wants us to have in this life. Well, he wants to take us to heaven, but in this life, there is an experience that we can have in God, and I don't know when that experience is going to end for me, but there, I would say that there's probably more and more there yet. My expectation is that there's something beyond this. God is leading and guiding us. So I want to look at that as a foundation and look at a scripture in the 13th chapter of Numbers. This is a familiar scripture. I want to lay a little foundation for this. This is the time that the children of Israel had been in bondage, I think for 400 years or so, and God had promised their deliverance, and through Moses, and we know the story, and there was a great deliverance, and God showed his mighty hand. Do you know that it was, I get this from the authority of Brother Austin Wilson, in one of his writings, he answered some of this, and he brought out the idea that during the children of Israel's time and the deliverance out of Egypt, that the 10 plagues that were sent upon Egypt were designed to confound the Egyptian gods. And every one of the plagues that was sent was denoted to a certain god. They said that this god had power, and God shot it down. There was the gods of the Nile, and God turned it, but there was gods of the sky, insect, and God confounded all of them in the sight of Israel. And the idea here was that the children of Israel knew of the father Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they had been so many years entainted by the idea of the Egyptian gods. Not only that was, God was going to deliver them out of this and take them to the land of Canaan where idolatry was rampant. And so idolatry was everywhere. And so God was going to establish with Israel that I am thy God. I am the living God. I am the only God. And he established and wanted to confound all of idolatry in their hearts and minds. And there is nothing that the God of Egypt can do against the God of Israel. This is the eternal, mighty, living God. And he confounded them all and brought them out with a mighty hand, brought them in their journey, and this is important to tonight's conversation, he brought them in their journey. It was the hand of God that brought them to their backs against the sea. The Egyptian chariots are coming. Here is this no-win situation. It was the hand of God that put them in that position. And he wanted to show the children of Israel that there is a deliverance in your God. God is able to deliver you tonight, no matter what your back is up against. God can get you out of every situation. And when we look at the circumstances, the old devil's going to whisper to us, and how did you get here? And what are you going to do now? And circumstance and faith, Fate has got you. Fate has got you. This has just happened to you. No, my brother. Fate didn't have nothing to do with this. God has brought you to this place in your journey. And God wants to show His mighty hand to you individually. He wants the testimony not to be of a bunch of writers of a book of ages gone by. He wants 2023 saints to stand up and say, I saw God. God helped me in this battle. God helped me with my wallet, sister. God's still alive. We can pray and we can have things happen because God is still real in our lives. And what do we turn to when we can't do anything else? We should turn to the Lord before we get to that point. God is our answer to this situation. And He wants to show Himself mighty. Be encouraged, brethren. God is still God. And He brought them to the Red Sea. And He brought them through the Red Sea. And in our hearts and minds, we look at such a major miracle and say, if I'd have been there, I'd have never doubted again. Well, some did. And can I tell you something? I know by experience that I can get on my highs and God do something. And I can be whimpering like a little kid 2 days later. I don't take 2 days. I've done it in a couple hours before. Things seem to turn around and change. It can happen quick. These people, we would say, well, if I'd have seen a miracle like that, well, they saw a miracle like that and they were just people. And yet, it wasn't too far along that they didn't have the strength. They didn't have the ability. So here in the 13th chapter of Numbers, here's the scenario of the 13th chapter. The Lord brings the children up to the land of Canaan, up to Jordan. And the Lord tells Moses to send spies. And you can read it there. I think there's a significance in this. That they just didn't get anybody. They chose the leaders of each group. 12. But they chose the upper leaders. The people that were respected and honored and put as leaders. He got the leaders. And they sent them over to spy out the land of Canaan. So they go and spy out the land of Canaan, and we know the story well. They go over there, and they come back with the report. I want to read a little bit of the report. Oh, see, I'll pick it up at 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land hither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Jebusites, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. Now, I wonder why it says that. Well, there was nobody said anything. I mean, it didn't say there was anything going on. But it insinuates this because it says, and Caleb stilled the people. You know why he stilled them? There was a great murmur went over. Oh! There was a great... See, you have to kind of understand this. They had been longing for this and wanting this, and their heart was on this, and hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And they had an idea. God had promised to give them this land. He did promise to give it to them. And He was going to keep His promise. But the promise wasn't that you're going to go in there and there's not going to be anybody in there. The promise was is that if you want this with all your heart, and if you're willing to give yourself for it, I'll give it to you. The idea that God had was is that I want you to want what I have for you. I want you to trust me. I want you to let me be your God. I want to show you that I'm your God. I've already tried and tried to prove that I'm God to you. You had nothing to do with the destroying of the Egyptian chariots. I did that, and I want to show you God. I want you to experience God. So I am going to give you this land if you want it. How badly do you want it? It's there for the taking. Do you know our spiritual lives is there for the taking? It's not just going to fall on you when you're sleeping at night. But it's as promised as everything. You can have this if you want it. But you got to want it. But he promised the land. And they said, it is a good land. We'd love to have it. But it costs too much. It's going to be something to try to get it. So Caleb stilled the people, and he stilled them because there was an uproar. There was something going on. And he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. That's, if I had to title this message tonight, that'd be it. Let us go. Let us go. I want to make a point here. It was God that brought them to this point in their journey. It was God that put them at this place. Ahead of them is the blessing. God brought them to the potential of what he wanted for their life. He designed it, gave it. Right there it is. All you got to do is want it, step for it, go for it. I'll be God, and nothing can stop you from getting it and having what I want for you. God had brought them to this place. If I may tonight suggest this, of the troubles that come into your life, God brought you to that. Can you say that tonight? That was somebody's fault. That was that the neighbor was this. The car did that, or the circumstances was this. No, it was the bad president. It's a bad Congress. It's situation. Can I suggest something? God brought them to this place. It was the hand of God that led them through the sea, through out of Egypt, through the sea, all the way to the banks of the Jordan with the promised land across there. It was God that brought them to this point with the expectation that what I have for you is across the river. All of the centuries of promises laid back, all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise is being fulfilled, and I've led you to this point. Is it possible that this sickness, this persecution, this place, this heartache is ordered in my journey to the Lord to say, brother, I brought you to the Jordan, and across here is your promise. This is where I brought you to. Let us, Caleb said. He said he stilled them before words. He stilled the congregation and he said, let us go and get the promise. The land that what God has promised us. Do you believe tonight, in the spirit of this message and by the word of God, do you believe it's possible to love when you're hated? Do you think it's possible to love someone that is persecuting you, hating you, and despising you? Is it possible to have grace of God to overcome the fleshly desires that we have in life? Do you think that there is a grace of God to overcome habits and those kind of things in our life? I'm going to tell you that God brings us to the shores of Jordan sometimes because this is where he has to bring us to. For us to get the promise of peace and satisfaction and happiness and blessedness of the Christian life, he's got to bring us to these kind of places sometimes where there's a great challenge. Is there any wonder that the giants were still in Canaan? You know, God could have sent a disease and wiped them out of there. God could have moved them out of there and they could have walked into that place and there not been an enemy anywhere. But he'd have had an awful bunch of weak people on his hands had he done that. And the only ones that would have went, anybody could go and do that. He wanted courage and he wanted faith and he wanted somebody that wants this more than life itself. I want this. Lord, I want what you had for it, have for us. You can go ahead and read the rest of this. But Caleb stilled the people and said, let's go. He didn't sugarcoat this. Folks, preachers that sugarcoat this is misguiding you. They're not sugarcoating about this. There's giants out there. The devil's mean. There's bad things out there. And no, you sending your money ain't going to bless you. You giving me all your money ain't going to cause you to be blessed. No, it ain't happening. That ain't the way it works. I'm going to tell you what will happen, Mo. You let the Lord lead you in that, and he'll take you to a land. And in this land, it isn't hinged on the natural things around you. This blessing can be in there, as Jesus said, of the river of living water that comes out. This one is individual and personal. In its place there. Caleb said, let us go up immediately. Let's go up. Let's go up. Let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. You know that stronger situations, people being bigger, stronger, mightier, is not important to God. I like to tell this story, but I was out at Brother James Bell's one time. This is a number of years ago. And I'd stayed at the house. I was holding a revival. And I'd stayed at the house, and Brother James went to his jail ministry. And so they got a call back to the house saying, Brother James said, Brother Marty, you know, the one that was supposed to come in, we got to go in by twos. And I don't have anybody to go in with. Said, would you please come in and go with me? Well, I kind of wanted to do it anyway. And so he said, would you please come and go into the jail? And he said, I don't need you to do anything. I just need you to go in with me. Because you got to go in by twos. And I said, I'd love to. So I went. And he didn't tell me anything to do, and I was in a hurry, and so when I left without my wallet. And I got there, and you had to have an ID to get into the prison, of course. And it was like, oh, no, you don't have an ID. Well, one of the guys that they went in, but there was four of us, and one of the guys was an old ex-senator from Oklahoma. And I remember him coming up there. He's an older fella, and he come up there to that desk, and he said, you don't have your ID? And I said, I forgot it was in my wallet. He's like, oh, well, did you bring your Bible? And I said, yeah, I got a Bible. He took my Bible and he went over there and he went to that desk and said, there's his credentials. Well, he was an old ex-senator. He must have had some power too, because they said, okay, he can go in. there was the authority. Anyway, I went in and do that. And the first pod we went into, Brother James done his thing, and it was pretty interesting. And the second pod we went into, he done it, and then he turns to me and says, oh, this is Brother Marty. And Brother Marty, you have anything to say? And I did. It was something that kind of spurred it, so I said it. And the next pod we went into, Brother James walked in, and hi, guys. And he told me, this is my favorite pod. These guys are. He said, come in there and said, hey, this is Brother Marty, and he's got a message for you. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord is good. And what I had been studying all morning was the scriptures that Brother James was using in that lesson. Almost exactly. It was amazing. I had these thoughts and all that. So after five pods and going through that, of course, and I felt like, Lord bless, but I felt like at the end of it, my inspiration was gone, and we was 5 o'clock, it was almost time to go to service, and I didn't have no message, and I was concerned. I mean, I was really getting concerned. It was a big night, and I didn't have no message, and I was going worrying. And the Lord spoke to me so plain and said, I ain't worried about it. That's right. I feel like the children of Israel here. God done so much that whole day, but I'm concerned that he can't do that little bit more. You could have asked anybody in that revival, it was well said, that night when I had nothing was by far the best service we had that whole revival. The night I didn't have anything. Folks, God don't need. The things, they're stronger, they're bigger. They looked and said, there's giants there. We're like grasshoppers to them. They're not God's no grasshopper to them. God is on our side with this. God has promised us a land against the giants that live in the land. The powers and the authorities and all of those kind of things. Folks, God is still God. To put our trust in God, God's going to shine, and he's not going to stop because it's 2023 and we're in a woke world. That God is still God of all of this. Caleb would say to us, come on, let's go. Get up. Don't stop now. Don't get discouraged. Beyond your sickness, beyond your disappointment, beyond that thing that set you back is your blessing, is your land. You're going to have land beyond this that's richer and better than you've ever had before. He wants us to claim the land. That's mine. There's something over there. There was a song in our book, number 300, verse 2. I can see far down the mountain where I wandered many years, often hindered by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments, thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. Now, what wasn't sprinkled all the way? It said, broken vows and disappointments, sprinkled all through my experience has been setbacks. There's been disappointments. There's been broken vows all the way through that, but who was it that put me there? Can you blame anybody? Who do we blame? Who do we look at and say for where who would you empower with such power that says that you put my life situation in something like that? It's diminishing the very idea of God. It was God. It's God that done that and put us in those places. And he said, but the Spirit led unerring. To what? I stepped higher on the disappointment. I had a stepping stone of broken vows. I had a stepping stone of illnesses and hurts and pains. And I had stepping stones to that to hire more trust in God. Deeper convictions. A closer relationship. I have a land today that I didn't used to have. And I got it now. But every one of these positions, and this one's included, they right across there. Caleb said, get up, Israel, let's go. We are well able to conquer it. It's there. God has given it to us. We can go and get that. But they didn't. Lord help us. They didn't. It was there. God brought them to it. It wasn't man. God brought them to the place to give. God brought them to the fulfillment of his promise if they would have stepped foot into Jordan. But they didn't. And the explanation, I won't read all this, but the explanation of that is God said, God's wording is that you despise the land. Well, that's a little odd way of phrasing that. Who would despise? To utterly detest? To hate? Did they hate the scriptural definition? Yes, they did, because they devalued it. That's what it means. They, instead of appreciating and adding value to it, that's worth more than anything to me. They depreciated it and said, the very thing God was going to bless me with ain't worth it. God, I hate to tell you this, but what you have for me ain't worth it. Really? That's what they said. They despised it. They hated God's plan for their life. Do you remember a scripture where, I believe it was Ahab, wanted Nabal's vineyard. And there's a little back and forth there in that. And Nabal says something to the effect of, far be it from me. to sell my inheritance. He didn't say, this is the best land ever. He didn't say that this is worth this much. He didn't say any of that. What he meant by that was is that God chose this land for me. I am tailor-made for this plot. By the will of God, the lot fell to me right here. Far be it from me. His mind was in the idea of God when he did said that. He lost his life for that. But he was not going to get out of the position God had gave him. That's what God gave me. This is where I'm to live my life at. In what God has. It's a type for what God is wanting to give us. He wants us to want what he has, the spiritual blessings that he has for us. They didn't, you can read it, they didn't obtain it here because they despised it. And when they finally realized that there was going to be a real penalty on them, they said, well, we're going to go. And then they said, well, you can go if you want to, but God ain't with you. Now what are you going to do? You just rejected God. And the plan that he brought you to. Let's go up immediately. Let's seek for God's will in the situation that he's brought us to. He's brought us to this place that on the other side of this, I can be more like Christ than I was when I got here. On the other side of this, I can have more faith, more confidence, more. I can have more love, more blessing in my life than I did when I got here. I can go across and get the promise of what God wants for me right over here. So there's another scripture I want to look at just a little bit. It is in Joshua, the seventh chapter. Oh, the seventh chapter of Joshua. So we know what ended up happening, right? Children of Israel wander around in the wilderness for 40 plus years, and they come back and they cross. Finally, those that was over a certain age had died, and they come back, and the promise was still true. God brought them back to the same position with the same plan. Was there not giants now? Was the city thinner? Was the wall city thinner? I mean, what was the armies not in the same position in place? Yeah, there was all there. But here comes up these ones that says, we're going to do what God, we're going for the promise. And you know what the story was? They went and stepped in, and the Lord took them across, and he went across, and they had great victory. God had promised Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, and I'll be with you. And we'll, you know, your enemies are going to flee before you. And he made a promise to them, and they went and took the city of Jericho by an absolutely wonderful miracle. And they was on a roll. They was on a roll because now the people around them was going to understand that the God of Israel was fighting their battles, and the walls or the cities are going to fall, and there's a mighty God on their in their behalf. And then I want to look at the seventh chapter of Joshua. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Kabdai, and the son of Zerai, the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not the whole people to labor hither, for they are but few. So there went up hither from the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shepharim, and smote them in the going down. Therefore the hearts of the people mounted and become as water.
And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, I want you to listen to this. Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Well, all right. Now, Lord, what shall I say then when Israel turneth her backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? All right, Joshua. We should never have crossed Jordan. I wondered about that. Now, wait a minute. You forgot Jericho. You forgot what the Lord told you before you crossed there. Oh, I wish that we would just... Are you content to stay on the other side of Jordan? I'll just go back and live the rest of my days on the other side of Jordan. I can die like the old timers did on the other side that wasn't faithful enough to go get it. I would that I just went over there. You know, the Lord was patient. He said to Joshua, get off of your face. Come on, let's go. It ain't good for you. It isn't good for the people. It isn't good for the cause of God, and I'm not going to allow it. You're not going to destroy yourself. I'm going to be tell you, and I'm going to reprove you and rebuke you every time you do this. You are not going to take the accursed thing. There's a penalty for it. It's called the love of God. God was not going to allow them to destroy themselves without a try. And he was going to stop them in their due process. And Joshua, let me tell you something. God has brought you to this place that you're here on your face. Get up. It's time to get up and pursue what God has for you. He's brought you to a place. There is much more experience ahead of you. The cause of God is ahead of you. There's many, many, Joshua, there's many, many victories ahead of you in life here. I've got to show you God in all kinds of ways. Get up off your face and do the right thing. Don't stop. Yes. Folks, we can't stop. Amen. The devil is trying everything he can to make us stop. Discouraging, bringing disappointments, doubts, all those things in an effort to try to make us stop. Don't stop. Amen. Crawl if you have to. Repent if you have to. Humble if you have to, but don't stop. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell Brother Clint. It don't have to be a big confessional. Tell the Lord and don't stop. Keep going. Be encouraged. Come on. Let's go. You got another chapter. There's something else God wants you to do. Wherever you're at tonight, let me assure you, God is in this. He's brought you to this place. He knows what he's doing. You say, well, God wouldn't do this. God does a lot of things. God does a lot of things, folks. You don't believe it? Follow Paul's life. Follow Paul's life. He was the man that you'd have thought was God was with him so much that the door should have swung open before he even got to him. He's shipwrecked out in the middle of the deep. Snake bites him by the fire. You know, he got 39 lashes. How many times did he say? He got whipped. He got scourged. He was persecuted, stoned, all this stuff. And you know what he determined? I'm going on. God brought me to this place. And I own a land. I got a land over here. And I'm gonna get that land that God gave me. And there's giants trying to stop me. The devil's trying to do it. He said, I wrestled with beasts at Ephesus. False prophets all around me. I begot some of you and then you was distorted away from me. All these things happened to discourage. Thrown in jail. He was in jail and in Roman irons. He said, Paul the apostle, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus. He wouldn't even give him credit. God, you didn't put me in these irons. Jesus put me in these irons. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. He'll get me out of these irons when I am ready for the next chapter of my life. As for right now, I own this place. This is my place right here that God has me in. And the glory and the Spirit of the Lord will fall on me in this place that I have. Right here. God wants us to continue on. There was a incident in the scriptures of a man that was blind. If you can imagine the scene. There was a throng of people around him. He could hear them. And I think he asked the question, what's the commotion? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Here he comes. And this blind man, I don't know where he got this from. Scripture don't say, so I don't know. Somewhere along the line, he had heard of him. He knew about him. So he starts yelling, screaming out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said to him, be quiet. You're disturbing things. Be quiet. You know why he said? He hollered that much louder. Just kept, what? No. I'm about to gain some ground. I got a land I'm going to live in. I got something here. Jesus is close by. Have mercy on me. Do you know by his perseverance and by his willingness to out there, Jesus come up to him and touched him? This man's life was made different. He gained some ground, some land there. I think God put him there. This is the next chapter, blind man. I'd hate to have been a blind man in my life, but this man was, that was what his lot was. But he ran into Jesus. You know, there was a woman that the Lord talked about. He said there was a widow woman that went to an unjust judge. And the unjust judge said, I don't fear God or man. But this widow woman, she just won't stop. Every time I think I'm at rest, I hear her voice. Avenge me of my enemy. Have mercy. Avenge me. Avenge me. I can imagine the first time it was easy to dismiss, and maybe the second time. She's coming every day, all the time. She keeps saying this. What do I do? Do I have her run off? Did I beat her? Maybe once or twice. I don't know, but she still don't stop. And he says, I'm going to grant her a petition lest she wearies me. And gives it up. And the Lord said, in a likeness for us, if I can use it this way, there's a land to possess. Beyond the trial, beyond the difficulty that God brought me to, here is a place. In the case of Joshua, he told Joshua, there's sin in the camp, Joshua. I'm going to keep my promise. Your promise was is that you would serve me. Your promise was is you'd be faithful. And you be faithful, and I'll keep the promise that I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. But you're going to have to fight for it. I will give you victories. Victories, victories. And when the giant comes up, and you're standing there shaking, you trust in me and the giant will fall and we'll go on. I'm going to give you the land step by step, day by day. Israel's going to possess this land. You trust me, and you're going to take possession of this land. You know, it's the same way in our spiritual lives. If you have something that in your life that troubles you continually, there's victory for that. There's victory for that. And the God will be faithful to bring you up to a point sometimes. I told somebody recently of an event that they was telling me about. I said, well, my experience is this is sometimes God has to take a person to the bottom of the barrel. And they're not willing to make the proper steps until they hit rock bottom and they turn around and say, what is there left for me? And God is there saying, let me give you the land. Let me give you what I have promised. And they're ready then to say, Lord, help me. I'm ready to get the promise. So I want to encourage you tonight, whatever it is that you're facing in your life, there's a chapter beyond that to own a piece of property that you've never owned before. There is a place of faith that you never had. There is a more of a confidence in God beyond that God wants us to have. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.